been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday post-NVIDIA earnings edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We had kind of a volatile overnight session in the market, although I look at that as it really doesn't count because it's futures and whatnot. It's not actual trading. But the reaction to both CrowdStrike, NVIDIA, and you can throw in Snowflake, too, kind of was all over the map. It was positive, then it was negative, then it was positive, and then it was negative. And when all is said and done right now, the NASDAQ was positive. Well, now it's gone positive again. Wow, this is a volatile session if I've ever seen one. The NASDAQ is now up by 29 points. To 21,614. The Dow is down 66 points to 45,498. And the S&P, which hit a new all-time high yesterday, and don't forget the Dow hit one last Friday after Powell's remarks in Jackson Hole, the S&P is down 4 points right now to 6,477. I saw a pretty big drop in interest rates today. That's good news. I saw the 10-year clear down at 4.23%. Gold has been pretty perky here recently, too, and we've got Bitcoin up $1,300 today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And the name Best Stocks Now Show comes from some of the best stocks in the market that I've seen over the years. NVIDIA would definitely be one of those, if not the best.
It's in the Hall of Fame for sure.
I think I could make an argument that it's at the top of my list. I'd have to look at some of the others. Of course, Apple was there at one time. Microsoft has been there. Cisco has been there. But as far as the sheer magnitude of and how fast and what a lead they have on the competition, I've never seen anything like NVIDIA before during my career in the industry, and especially one that, you know, was in a different business altogether in a way, making graphic cards. And then all of a sudden catapulting itself with the chips, the Blackwell chips, which is where they're at today. Now, NVIDIA has also been all over the place during this kind of wild overnight session. And it even went positive this morning. And now it's down 1.5%. But the raw numbers are pretty darn impressive, especially for a $4.35 trillion market cap company. Their sales were only up 56% year over year.
Not bad.
And this is like, you know, it's getting to be a more of a mature story. This is not a new story. This is well into the explosion here in the sales and earnings. But 56% growth for a $4.4 trillion company is unheard of. Normally, by this time, they'd be paying a dividend and losing 10% a year, like AT&T or one of the others. But no, they're still in the prime of their life, as far as I'm concerned. Their earnings are up 54% year over year. 54%. Now, you could say sales growth is decelerating. If we go back 4 months or 4 quarters ago, their sales growth was 94%. That was the ascent off the runway. Now it's only at 56%. But when you put that next to a mega cap stock, this is unheard of type of growth. And why is the stock not up more? Well, I think it came in line with, not only did it come in line with estimates, it beat the sales and earnings estimates. I think you'd have to really get into the weeds of what Jensen Huang said. The initial reaction was the stock was down 4%. That was before the press conference, okay? I didn't listen to the press conference. I'm going to look at some of the highlights from it today. But there has to be something. I'm guessing it probably has to do with China.
It does. Yeah, yeah. I mean, in their go-forward guidance, it's actually interesting. In their go-forward guidance, they didn't even. I don't believe they included any sales to China of the H20. And so, you know, so regardless, right? If they sell any H20s, then
there's
that
upside.
Will increase. Yeah, upside there. So that thing, it's certainly around China and just the uncertainty there. One interesting thing was I saw their robotics revenue really starting to ramp up, which is, you know, just an interesting offshoot of AI and places where their chips, you know, other functions for their
well,
chips that they're making.
You know, we make a big deal out of Tesla and all the upside they have from their humanoid robots, but I would say that NVIDIA is a much bigger player in the robotics industry. That's a business that's not even hardly being talked about. And yet, you know, a lot of factory automation and a lot of these robots and whatnot are tied to NVIDIA.
As Jeff has referenced, those smart factories, right? I
mean, yeah, the smart
AI
factories.
And what they can do, yeah.
Well, CrowdStrike, its initial reaction last night was down 13% or something like that. It was pretty ugly. And now it's up 2%. So there's been a volatile session in CrowdStrike also. And then the third big tech stock that reported, it's the stock of the day for me. You know, I sold it because it had a very weak chart. It was not looking good. It's the only company I know that is headquartered in Bozeman, Montana. I know Jeff Webster's headed up that way. I'm going to have him look for any Morgans are related to me. If the last name is Morgan in the Yellowstone area, my uncle owned a very well-known resort up there, Morgan's L Western Hotel, right on the Madison River, some of the premier fly fishing, and my cousin was a world-famous builder of classic fly fishing rods. He built those rods handmade all over the world for very well-known people. He finally passed away a few years back. The poor guy ended up getting muscular dystrophy or multiple sclerosis, I believe it was, and was in a wheelchair. And he would direct his wife. She was making the fly rods. In the end, he wanted to fulfill his commitments. And he was speaking to her and guiding her through that fly rod making process. But Snowflake is up 19.4% today, $39 per share. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have sold it. It competes with Databricks, which is a private company, and the AI stocks in general are very strong today. Astera Labs. Let me just see. I sent out a
pretty lofty multiple on old,
on Snowflake.
Snow. Yeah,
for a Bozeman company, especially. Yeah. You know, you wouldn't expect that out of Bozeman, maybe Silicon Valley. But
180 on the forward PE ratio.
Yes. But some of the other AI stocks that are pretty perky here this morning, Astera Labs, Credo Technology, VRT, which is, what's VRT's name? It's another one of those. That is Vertiv Holdings,
yeah,
which makes infrastructure. So, you know, I see nothing wrong with NVIDIA's earnings report here today, and maybe we'll dig into it a little more. They have a massive share buyback program. Okay, so instead of instituting a dividend or raising their dividend, no, they think the best investment they can make with their extra cash, and I'm guessing there's a lot of extra cash. I'm glad to see Jensen Huang's not buying Dogecoin or crypto, increasing. A lot of these companies, that's their business plan now.
I feel like he could create tokens in his basement if he wants to.
Well,
you know? He doesn't need to
not,
buy them.
Let's not forget that NVIDIA plays a huge role in crypto, in Bitcoin mining with those high-speed chips. Data center revenue jumped 56%, coming in at $41.1 billion. Automotive revenue, yes, they're in, let's not forget the autonomous vehicle. All these areas that are such hot areas of the market, NVIDIA's in all of them, basically.
Well, and I saw a story, in Louisiana, they're building a data center that's supposed to be, it's in Louisiana, data center is supposed to be the size of Manhattan.
Yeah, that's Meta. Wow. Meta is building that data center, and they did an overlay of downtown Manhattan, and it's going to be as big as that. So this is crazy stuff. We've never seen anything like this. I've never seen a revolution like this, and I've seen some big ones during my years in the business. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, Barry, there's other numbers and margins. They have a gross margin, NVIDIA does, of 73%. Oh, man. You know, like Walmart's gross
just
margin.
Just a cash cow.
I mean, this is unbelievable. And they are accelerating investments, and that's another thing. They're kind of a soft bank in a way. They're investing in a lot of other companies, up and coming companies, because they have so much cash on hand.
Now, yeah, a lot of applications of AI. I mean, they've done, you know, they've had notable investments in healthcare. They've had notable investments in robotics and self-driving. Actually, they were part of a group I think that got kind of approved by the Motor Tran, some kind of organization out there in terms of their self-driving software. So I mean, anything that's computing, it's in there. I mean,
you talk about the tech titans over the last several decades out of the Silicon Valley and everything with Jobs and Gates and some of the others, Ellison. Man, I'll tell you what, Jensen Huang. Whew, I don't know that anybody's accomplished what he has accomplished. They expect the infrastructure spending over the next several years, I mean, to just be in the trillions of dollars. And it's a crazy story. I don't know that we'll ever see another one like it in our lifetime. Now, here's the best news of all. If you were worried about the dividend, they're going to pay their quarterly dividend of 1 cent per share to shareholders on October 2nd. If you own this stock as of 9/11/2025, or if you still own it at that point in time, you're going to get 1 cent per share in dividend. I guess that's just a token. I don't know, but maybe it, like we owned it in our dividend and growth portfolio because they did pay a dividend. Okay, the next 5 years they expect $3 to $4 trillion in AI infrastructure opportunity. The Blackwell Ultra platform has had a strong quarter, generating tens of billions in revenue. In late July, the U.S. government began reviewing licenses for the sales of the H20s to China customers. A select number of Chinese customers have already received a license in the past few weeks, but they have not shipped any H20s based on those licenses. And lastly, networking, total revenue expected to be $54 billion next quarter. This is a company that could get to $1 trillion in sales, which I don't think we've ever seen that in our lifetime. So the magnitude of NVIDIA and what they've done. And oh, by the way, their gaming revenue, which was their key business, core business before the NVIDIA chip came along, they also had a pretty big increase in their gaming revenue for all you gamers out there. Okay, now we get back to the mundane initial jobless claims on this Thursday. They come in at 229,000. That's a good number. The jobs market remains strong. There's no issue yet. And like we've said many times, the first area that we'll start to see weakness in the jobs market show up, which is usually what are the first signs of a recession blowing in the wind. We're still seeing no signs of that whatsoever with the initial jobless claims coming in at 229,000. Now, in addition to this, Q2 GDP growth was revised higher to 3.3%. It was at 3.1. So, you know, we've been talking about Europe and their hundredths of a percentage growth over there. It's usually 0.001 or 0.002.
Yeah, Germany, you said they had to go a few decimal points.
Yeah, we're at 3.3. And that was another thing with the Congressional Budget Office. They factored in zero growth when they did their analysis of the so-called big, bad, beautiful bill. And the Trump administration was actually factoring in 3% growth, which would have a massive impact on the debt that the U.S. is carrying. You know, already they've saying that $4 trillion could come off of that massive debt because of the tariffs we're collecting. But if we can maintain 3% growth, that would have a huge effect on reducing that big debt that the U.S. government has. So Q2 GDP revised higher to 3.3, and that, there's still more good news. The PCE was revised lower to just 2%. And that's the gauge that the no excuse for not having a rate cut at the next meeting. And I would say more than that, I think it should be 50 basis points myself. And I'm sure Trump agrees with that. But I just think they're behind the curve. And because of his stubbornness and, you know, his worry, which is ill-founded, of inflation, they've stood pat for the last 9 months. And so there's two good, very good numbers on not only growth, but the jobs market, three good numbers, and a very soft inflation number, which was revised downwards. Now, tonight we're going to get earnings from Dell, which at one time, it never reached the magnitude of NVIDIA. But I witnessed the PC revolution when we didn't have personal computers. We didn't have a computer on our desk. My first computer was a K-Pro computer. That's got to be in the early 80s, I'm going to say. And it weighed about 60 pounds. And it packed up. You could never take that on a business trip with you. That thing was heavy. But you know what? I thought I'd died and gone to heaven when I plugged it in, and all of a sudden, it was all one unit, right? The keyboard, I want to say the keyboard, I wish I still had it. My friend does. Douglas has his. The keyboard, the screen, everything was one unit, and it was in like a metal type of suitcase kind of thing, and you opened those buckles, and you opened that baby up, and you plugged it in. Took about a minute to boot up, Barry, and then there was that amber you had that dark screen with amber right. Text and type, and there it was, my first computer. Oh, man, I fell in love, and it's been a love affair ever since with the personal computer and the advances thereof. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about kind of an unbelievable statistic, if you ask me. We'll talk about that when we come back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. I want to just reiterate one of the findings that I have really been astonished. I didn't realize how poorly bond fund. Now, Barry, as people transfer their accounts to us from other places, right? I mean, the first thing I do is go through and analyze what transferred in. And we've had several in, over the last couple of weeks that had quite a number of positions. So I became very familiar with a lot of positions that I haven't looked at in a while. And a lot of them happen to be mutual funds and bond funds, etc. And I just look at the track record. That's where I begin. So you would think the JP, and I'm not knocking JP Morgan. I think this is true of most bond funds. JP Morgan core bond fund. Okay, you got to believe that that's pretty much a bellwether, right? I mean, this is one of the biggest banks in the world. They're running a core bond fund. It's a mutual fund. And, you know, with their management, and this basically has followed the aggregate bond index. Okay, it's been around for 15 years or more. The 15-year track record is 2.44%. 15 years at 2.44%. I mean, put that up against the S&P 500, which is probably up in the round 16, 18%. Over the last 10 years, the J.P. Morgan Core Bond Fund has delivered to investors an average annual return of 2.03%. Over the last 3 years, it's 3.04. It's gotten a little better. And year to date, it's probably having one of its best years ever. This is about the most you can expect from a bond fund, I would say. It's up 5.1% year to date. But you look at the 15-year track record, 2.44. So, you know, I just ask myself, and I look at the age of the investor, and they're still in the accumulation phase, which we talk about all the time. They're not in the distribution phase. And by the way, it'd be pretty hard to live off of 2.44%. If you had $1 million, you're living off of 24 grand a year in returns in a core bond fund. I have really, and we do not buy bond funds here at Gunderson Capital, other than the inverse bond fund.
I was going to say we use that inverse treasury fund to help reduce some duration, but yeah, that's it.
But here's my thought: how much of America's retirement money is in bond funds? A lot.
I mean, there's the bond market is huge compared to, you know, it dwarfs the stock market. I mean, it's the biggest market there is
and,
on the bond market.
You know, and we've analyzed you know, how many of these big firms or guys like my size firm doing asset allocation on based on age, and I'm guessing somewhere in the 90% area are using the asset allocation model. And if let's just say your average client is 65 years old, that would mean you've got 65% of their assets in bond funds. And I'm just going to tell you, when these portfolios come to me from other firms, they're not in individual bonds. They're always in bond funds. And a lot of times they're totally diversified within the bond. So if you're, let's just say you're 60 years old and you've got 60% in bond funds, a lot of those bond funds are short term, which are like 0.5% or whatever. And that they build the diversification and asset allocation model amongst your bond holdings, which even waters down the 2.4 even more. I think we're doing the Wall Street is doing a tremendous disservice. The financial planning community itself, I wonder if they've ever really stopped and looked at the return of these bond funds and what they've done. You can say, well, it's safe money. Well, if it's 60% of their portfolios, why not still have it growing a little bit? I mean, I'd take a dividend portfolio of stocks. I see these bond funds as just being horrible investments.
Yeah, I mean, there's a fine line in using them, you know, as diversification or, you know, as kind of a steady piece of the portfolio versus it, you know, being a, you know, really an anchor or drag on returns. I mean, you know, having, if you have, you know, 30% in bonds and, you know, and you compare whatever your self to say the S&P 500, well, that 30% is such a drag that there's no way that it'll ever, you know, there's no way that you're ever going to have that growth. I mean, it's really set up to fail to a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah. It the asset allocation model is set up to fail. What can I say? All right, White House fires CDC Director Monterez after refusal to resign. You know, what can I say? RFK is shaking things up big time. We've had clients that worked at the CDC, which is headquartered in Atlanta. Hey, I've got a little Atlanta story. I saw a pop-up ad. It was a HO locomotive, and I really liked the color. It really caught my eye. It was green and yellow, Canadian Pacific. And it was a Broadway Limited, which those are like, oh, man, they smoke. They make real noises like a real train. And I said, and I looked at the price. I said, wow, that's a decent price on that thing. So I ordered it off of eBay. I got it today. Yes, the guy writes to me, hi, Bill. Thanks for your purchase. I have listened to your show for many years and have gained much wisdom. Wow. Now, that is the best compliment you can give to a guy like me is wisdom. I'm happy to see you are into trains. Isn't that quite? That's crazy.
That's a small world right there.
Yeah, it's a small world. But, you know, we're back in Atlanta with our show.
Yeah.
After a long absence because they sold the station we were on. And I can't wait to get back to the perimeter. There's some great restaurants out there, teach some workshops, visit the folks. Anyways, Microsoft fires two workers over a sit-in protest at the president's office. Yeah, the president comes to work and there's two kooks sitting in his office because of their involvement with Israel. Okay. Tesla's Europe sales slumped 40% year over year. Meanwhile, BYDDF surged 225% year over year. Can you believe that? How, you know, the China has just snubbed. Well, I don't know that they snubbed. I don't think he's competitive from a price point anymore in China with his EVs. We just read recently how much a Tesla costs. The highest level models, like $110,000 in China. And BYDDF is producing and selling them at $30,000-$40,000. So anyways, they are just killing. That's Europe. That's Tesla's Europe sales slumped 40% while BYDDF is up 225%.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. I talked about this earlier in the week and now it's official. Lumber is on the brink of a bear market territory as tariff driven rally fizzles out. I had that from boots on the ground in a private conversation
That's
I had
what you said, right?
In the halls of church. That's what I talk about in the hallways of church on Sunday. I talk to people in different industries.
Out some lumber.
And he said, Bill, the lumber industry is, I've never seen it this bad. We've got to stop Canadian lumber from coming into the country. He says, we don't need it. We got plenty of trees, plenty of lumber here in the U.S. Maybe it will start to show up in the price of a 2x4 over at the Lowe's. Kathy Woods, ARK Invest buys another $15.6 million worth of Bitmine, BMNR. She is all in on crypto. Bitmine is a $5.2 billion company. It's a blockchain technology. I think it was a SPAC. It went from 6 to 161 a couple of months ago, and now it's settled into the $50 area. Bitmine Immersion Technology. If you want to follow Kathy, I think that this company is headquartered in the right place. I really do. It's headquartered in Las Vegas, Nevada, which is the gambling capital of the world. And I look at Bitmine, which has 2 million in sales and a $5.2 billion market cap, a stock that went from $4 to 161 in 3 days and is now back at 47. That's a perfect headquarters for it in Las Vegas, and Kathy Wood is all over it. Wow. Okay, now, when we come back, there were several other companies that kind of get lost when NVIDIA is reporting, but there were some pretty darn good earnings reports last night. We already talked about Snowflake, which is the stock of the day. There's plenty of snowflakes in Bozeman, Montana, but the big one is SNOW, the software company. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I've been texting back and forth with my brother Barry. Him and his wife, he's I think 5 years older, 6 years older than me. He is on a bike trip, him and his wife and another couple, from the Oregon border to the Bay Area, San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how many miles that is. It's
and that's bicycle or motorcycle?
No, bicycle.
Oh,
and
so
there's
a real bike trip. Okay.
That's Highway 1. I mean, there are some steep inclines.
The scenic route. Oh, yeah.
My brother has been like that all of his life. I mean, I remember when he rode from San Diego to Cabo San Lucas on his bike. That's 900 miles.
Wow.
But he's the one that rebuilds Ferraris and is world famous for Dino restorations. He does that out of the love of it. He doesn't need to work, but I said, hey, you'll be there just in time September 16th, 17th, and 18th at the pace you're going. I think they're doing 60 miles a day. 60
wow.
miles a day. So you'd have to do the math. But anyways, I said, we'll be there September 16th, 17th, 18th at the Santa Clara Marriott, which really looks like a nice place. I hope they have a good breakfast. That Tuesday night is a workshop, September 16th at 7 p.m. We haven't done a workshop. I haven't done a workshop in the Bay Area for a long time. I remember doing one many years ago in downtown San Francisco. And then, of course, on that Tuesday, 16th, 17th, and 18th, we're meeting in private meetings, one-hour meetings that you can book. There's no obligation. We're just going to show you what we do, how we do. You can have a review of what you're doing now, whatever you're invested in. Edie's booking the appointments. I haven't checked with her lately. I'm just kind of giving it time, but I know it's filling up. I do know that, okay? If you want to grab one of those appointments before they are all gone, you can go to give her a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST.
Yeah, she does a great job setting this
up. Oh, man, like clockwork. It's just like clockwork. Every 1 hour, I go, I think I'll get up and grab a Diet Coke or something. No. Oh, no. We've got Diet Coke. You're not going anywhere, mister. Like 20 a day. No, it's not 20 a day. It's 10 a day, usually.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's that. Now, a few other earnings last night that worthy of mention. Pure Storage, that's PSTG. Kind of a little bit of a lower-end stock, but what can I say? It's a, it beats Snowflake. They provide flash-based storage systems for large and mid-sized organizations in the U.S. and abroad. PSTG just blasting off today. Another sign. And guess where it's headquartered? Santa Clara, California. I could probably see it from my hotel room when I'm there. Pure Storage is up 29.6% today on 2,378% higher volume than normal. So great. And you know, their quarter, their sales were only up 13% and their earnings were down 2%. But something, there's some big news on this stock here, PSTG. And the analysts are just giddy over PSTG's report here. There's your stock of the day. Snowflake falls down to second place here. Another one, HP. Now, that is a dog. That's Hewlett-Packard. That's one that's been left in the dust many years ago, has been just a total non-performer. Now they've got ink that you don't ever have to replace, it seems like. You know, I bought a printer. I have not replaced the ink in that thing. I've had it for 2 or 3 years. I guess I'm not doing as much printing as I used to, or that thing's just got a reservoir. So I don't know where their profits are anymore. Not a good. Actually, that's HP is. No, Hewlett Packard. That's it.
Yeah,
okay. All right. Now, Best Buy. Well, I remember when Best Buy was a viable stock, but now we all buy our computer. When's the last time you went into a Best Buy and shopped for a laptop? You can get them at Costco. You can get them at Walmart. You can get them online at Amazon. Best Buy's going nowhere. I see that as a total non-growth company. We mentioned CrowdStrike, which I consider to be the second best software company behind Palantir. It's up 1.8% today.
Those things are always volatile, aren't they?
They're volatile.
Whenever they have earnings. I mean, you said how much was it down at one point after earnings, and then now it's a positive percent?
Yeah,
it was down double digits, right?
In the after hours. They've averaged 96% growth over the last 5 years, but their earnings growth, to me, is slowing down a lot, and that's why we don't own it anymore. But I still think it's the second best one out there. Dollar General, which is on every corner in America. There's about as many Dollar Generals as there are Starbucks. Well, they have 20,000 stores, Dollar General. It is up 1% today. I guarantee you they don't have gross margins of 78% over there at Dollar General. It's probably like 2 or 3%. And then there's one more, Burlington Stores, B-U-R-L, which actually had double-digit growth, which is surprising. It's up 7%. The consumer. Oh, and there's one other one, Dick's Sporting Goods. Let's see how Dick's is doing. Dick's is down 5.2%. I'm not a big fan of retail bricks and mortar stocks. Okay, well, never a dull moment. That's my motto in the markets. And of course, we've had plenty of excitement and adventure and news and more to come. So stay tuned. I start kind of thinking about the newsletter today. I'm traveling tomorrow. I'll be writing the newsletter, getting a head start on a cross-country trip to California. We're going to see the Pacific Classic. My wife wants to see journalism run. She wants to go to 2 Padre games. And we're going to a funeral at the Del Mar racetrack, not for a horse, but a friend of ours that owned a big racing publication, and we owned a few horses together, and he passed away recently. So got a fun weekend, I guess, kind of. Mixed bag coming up. To get the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. It's an education that comes out every Saturday. To set up an appointment with us, either in person there in the Bay Area or over the phone, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody, and looking forward to Labor Day weekend. Take care.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.